everybody, and welcome to episode number 42 of Girl Fight.
We're over the hill.
Almost. We're over the hill.
Almost.
Oh, okay. What's officially over the hill?
I don't know. Let's go with 50. Okay. We're almost over the hill.
Yeah. With that. Yeah, 42. We're getting there, and I've already got people sending me suggestions for episode 50.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think Jim Riley is what they're wanting for episode 50.
Interesting.
But then we'd have to have McDonald's in here for him.
I don't think it matters. I mean, how often do you think Jim gets stuck in a room with girls all by himself? So
I'm just saying it would have been better with Jess, yeah. But we could still do it without her.
Yeah. So anyhow, I'm Nicole Tanner. Today I'm joined by Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Audrey Drake.
Hi, everyone.
Dana Jungle Ward.
Hello.
And Megan Sullivan.
Konnichiwa.
Yes, there's a little hint as to what we're going to be talking about today. Really quickly, winners from last week's contest. Michael Hughes and, I'm going to butcher this name, Dial Sales. The first name is spelled D-I-A-Y-L-L. Congratulations, you are our winners. And I don't think I have anybody's addresses, so you need to send me your address and preference as to size and style of shirt. Again, the prizes are lady-sized, Mass Effect, and Dragon Age shirts that BioWare sent to us.
Hooray. Yes. And if you're a gentleman, you can always give it to a sister, a girlfriend, or if you're on the smaller side, you can always wear it. There's nothing particularly too frilly or girly. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. Or your mom.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
Exactly.
True. Very true.
Alrighty. That's the only news that I've got. So let's just get going with what we're playing. Christine, do you want to start?
Sure.
Stop doodling.
I like to doodle. I always like bring something in so I can draw a little bit. I played the new DLC for Mass Effect 2.
Arrival,
yes. I got to play, I don't remember how long it was. It seemed to go very quick, but I'm sure it was longer than that. I played the first couple missions of it. Looks really cool. Of course, they cut me off right at the plot twist, which obviously I won't say. And I was like, and then they're like, all right, now we're gonna leave and take this away from you, and I was like, oh,
we're okay. Like, you are mean. No.
Bye. You should have been like, what's that over there? I just kept playing.
I know. I should have, but I did not. It comes out on Tuesday, so you don't have to wait too long for it.
Is this the last DLC?
This is the last
one?
DLC
that makes
the
you
last
sad
one. I know.
Two.
I was hoping that there would be a Caden.
Yeah,
DLC or Ashley, whatever.
I actually was just thinking that what they should do for these games is like have a date DLC where you go around killing things with whoever your romantic interest is, and then you get to go on a date.
What? Like, I'm telling you, people like that was the date, going around killing people. I was like, yeah. Oh, very romantic.
Well, no, you have to have some sort of gameplay. It's a game, but yeah. I'm just saying. Then after that, you can have like a romantic date and give gifts and stuff like that. I'm telling you, people would put down.
You just want BioWare to make a dating game, don't you?
Yes, okay. I do. But, I know I'm not alone.
For those who want to know a little bit more about the Arrival DLC, I have a preview up. The first page is very basic, very, very basic. No spoilers are there. But then page two is all spoilers. So you do not have to click over if you don't want to.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, that's other than that, I played The Sims a little bit more last night.
Sims 3
or
Sims 3? Because I know Nicole's.
I don't have a PC. Well, I guess I could play it on my Mac, but I went with the console. I was just like, I feel like relaxing a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm playing Dragon Age a lot, so
comfort gaming.
Yeah,
kind of what I call
yeah, that's yeah. Good word for it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool,
Audrey.
Cool.
I'm playing a lot actually. I'm still playing through Arkham Asylum again. I started in Pokemon Black, and I'm also replaying Ocarina of Time for an article that I'm writing. Not complaining.
How
not
many
complaining
times
at all.
Have you played Ocarina of Time?
God, I don't even know. So many. It would be scary if
which
I knew.
Which is impressive. It's a huge game.
It's a huge game, yeah. I just replay it very, very often.
I still haven't finished
would you
that
say
game.
Like once a year?
Yeah, definitely once a year. Sometimes more than once.
Wow. Yeah, because I assume you're going to play it again once the 3DS version comes out.
I'm going to play the heck out of it when the 3DS version comes out. But yeah, and I've also been playing through pretty much all of the 3DS launch titles a little bit, so pretty full gaming plate.
Yeah. Impressions, 3DS?
I love the system itself. It's what surprises me most is how much the 3D actually affects gameplay, which you wouldn't think so. You'd think it's just, oh, pretty 3D. Yeah. But it actually helps, like, with precision and depth perception and just knowing where you are in the environment and stuff. It's really cool. Not the most impressive launch lineup ever, yeah, but there are a few good titles in there. There's Street Fighter, Pilot Wings, so it's pretty cool.
Cool.
So it's not a useless gimmick. It actually...
It's not. Yeah, that's actually what I thought. Like, I was excited for it, but I thought, oh, it'll just be something kind of cool to look at. But it actually really does have an effect on gameplay
in
the
games that choose to use it. So it sucks for those who cannot see it.
Yeah, like sorry, Damon. Aww.
What, really? Yeah, he can't see it. His eyes are screwed up.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's apparently 3DS for him.
It's not an uncommon
thing.
Yeah,
it's not an uncommon thing. Yeah. He doesn't have, like, I think it's astigmatism. Like, people with astigmatism can't necessarily see it. Or they can, but, like, you have to focus really hard and then, you know, you get a headache.
Right.
So, yeah. It's like you can play all of these games without the 3D, but it really does add to the experience having it on. So, sorry, Damon.
Yeah. Well, I have a minor astigmatism, and it like, it's definitely, I can't look at the screen for a prolonged period of time without my eyes. Yeah, no, they really start to
hurt. Long can you play it for, Audrey, without you getting...
Yeah, you know what? I've been playing it a lot just after work at night. And so when I start off, it's just fine. But I find that when I'm really tired, it's really late and dark. And I've been playing for a couple of hours. My eyes will get strained and I'll have to slowly turn the 3D down and then eventually just turn it off if I get too tired. But like, if you're playing during the day, you know, you're fresh, then you can just play as long as you need to, really.
Cool.
Yeah.
But Audrey is also younger than the rest of us. So she has very young eyes.
Yeah. True.
Very true.
Dana?
I have been playing a little bit more Minecraft, and I finally figured out how to harvest resources, which is like...
That sounds
useful. I mean,
there's no tutorial, right?
There's not...
Like,
yeah,
you're like the wiki or...
You just go in the game and you're like, oh, okay. And yeah, I mean, if you are not, like, if you're the sort of person who just really thrives on, like, going around and figuring out stuff as you go, this is an awesome game for you. If you're like me and often not very creative or very patient, then finding a wiki is a must, like, just for figuring out how to make stuff. And I mean,
yeah, I remember watching Charles, like, trying to make stuff, and it was totally weird.
Yeah, because there are recipes, but like, it's, I mean, I don't think that they show up anywhere in the game. I mean, people have built, wikis of all these things, but it's like, hey, this is how you use wood to make an axe or whatever, and you need these various components. And I still haven't figured out how I haven't done much, just because, like, I'm looking at it, and it's the sort of game that if you're the sort of person who, like, really thrives on building levels in a little big planet, then, like, this is a game that you're really going to get into. And I'm not a very creative person. I'm just really, really not, at least not in this way. Like, it's always like, so I enjoy watching other people play Minecraft and seeing what they've done. I don't know if I'm the sort of personality type that's going to be able to get hooked.
Have you tried running in a direction to see how far you can go?
Like, not yet.
You haven't done
that
yet?
My favorite video is a guy demonstrating something in Minecraft. I don't know what he was trying to do. But like, he was trying to build a fire pit in his house. So he built this big house made of wood, obviously. Yeah. And then he goes and builds a fire pit in the middle, but he doesn't do it properly. And so the fire starts to catch and it burns the whole house down. And he's like, what? Awesome. No, that's not supposed to happen. And like, you can just hear him. He's like trying to throw water on the fire.
Oh my gosh.
But it's just so funny because it's all like pixelated and just like little blocks of fire are slowly taking over.
I bet
over.
It got him way more views though.
Yeah.
And you can't. It was hilarious. You can't stop. Like,
yeah,
it's like, it's
yeah.
like, it's if something happens, it happens. Like, there's no taking it back. There's no going back and unsaving.
Yeah, you can't be like, whoops. Yeah, it's all there.
Like, no, seeing Charles, because we were watching Charles yesterday, and he's like built this whole crazy, like, this huge stone castle. So he has to like individually mine like each block of stone for this thing. Mm-hmm. And so he was showing us, and he's got like this whole dugout, like, giant cave with all these rooms underneath his castle where he got all the stone to actually build it all with. I mean, it's really, I mean, you gotta have a lot of patience.
Yeah, that's such a cool game. I've been meaning to get into that since I heard about it. Like, I think Parrot was sent me some levels that people made, like Zelda levels. Yeah. It's like, oh, I want to do that.
I mean, I love love the concept of this game and love that it became popular, because it's like a guy who also believes in, I mean, because he's talked about like that when he gets to the point where he feels like he's done with it, because he first put it out I think after he'd been developing it for like a week, and you know, so then it's been free for all this time, and now it's like $20, it's in beta. But he said, you know, when I get done with it, that he'll probably put out the code as open source sort of stuff, just so other people can take it and do things. And I just think that's really awesome. And I love that so many people are responding to something that does. I mean, it's a lot of work and creativity, but it's cool to see it take off.
I love that they're adding pet wolves.
They're adding wolves.
They're adding cute little pixel dog wolf things.
Cool. Yeah. Win.
Are you able to actually use it as a pet, or is this the kind of thing that will chase you around?
I didn't do too much research on it. I just saw it and I saw a screenshot and I was like, oh, it's so cute. And that was the extent.
And it would probably eat you.
It would protect you.
So the other thing that I have been playing is Call of Duty World at War on DS.
Which
is not my first choice of something to play, but it is part of a larger project I'm working on, and which I'll be able to talk about a little bit later once it actually goes live. But yeah, I have to say I am not the world's biggest first-person shooter fan, but I'm really not a fan of home handhelds. I would take a PC or a console any day over. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Total tangent, but I like your boots, Dana.
Thank you.
They're very cool. They look cool. They look a little bit like the they're a feminine version of the boots that Arnold Schwarzenegger wore in the first Terminator.
They
Oh, wow. It really does.
Wow. Yeah, I'm one of those shoe fanatics who can remember details like that.
Thank you. They're actually cheap knockoffs of Fry boots, but yes. And once they wear out, I figure that I've worn them enough that I will buy the real thing.
Nice. I have cute boots too.
Yes.
I complimented her on her entire outfit. Very cute.
Thank you.
There you go.
Alrighty, Megan.
Well, I just finished Dragon Age 2 last night, which I'll get to in a second. And I'm also playing, I'm playing a lot of RPGs lately. I'm still playing Xenogears, which I'd never played before. Still enjoying that. And finally got around to playing Lunar Silver Star Harmony.
Yes.
How's that?
I actually, I was really surprised that Lunar still holds, it's a very 1990s JRPG, but it still holds a lot of charm because it's so cute. Way back in the day, I don't know, older JRPG fans will remember this game. Remember Lunar Eternal Blue? That was an awesome game. So I always wanted to play its sequel, and I finally got around to it. And I have to say, it is a gorgeous looking game on the PSP. Mm-hmm. If you haven't played Lunar and you're a JRPG fan, definitely pick this one up. And it's really cute. It's very formulaic. It's very JRPG. You know the drill. You know the twists, plot twist coming. But it's so charming and so cute. And the great thing is you can do auto battle. So when you're level grinding, you can only half pay attention. So that's what I can do, multitasking. So if I want to,
so that's what you were doing at your desk right before we
exactly. came on up. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I got some level grinding in. So I'm doing work and I'm just pressing a button and I'm not paying attention at all. And I'm leveling up and everything. So when I go home, I can do all the story stuff and be like, all right, great. This is fantastic. So
I didn't grind too much in Lunar.
You don't have to grind like say Dragon like Quest, where that's all you have to do. But
there was a little bit, but not too much.
No, I just did it because why not, get it out of the way kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I appreciate the auto battle for that game, but recommend that one. So, and then like I said, I'll try not to spoil it too much for people. I know
a
lot of people.
Please don't.
Yes, because people will claw my eyes out. So I finished Dragon Age 2 last night and. It's a good game. It's not BioWare at their best. I really think the short development cycle hurt the game because if I had to run into one more recycled dungeon, I was going to scream by the end. And there's a big epic boss fight.
What? Spoilers.
I'm sorry. Spoilers. Too bad. But I thought that was the end. And I was like, oh, man, that was an epic fight. And then I was like, wait, I have another act to go? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Charles said the same thing.
Yeah. And I was like, just kind of like, you have like three or four factions that you can side with in the game. And so I aligned myself with one particularly nasty faction because I was like, these guys are cool. And then they kind of disappear. And I'm like, I spent all my hours and resources with you guys, and now I don't have that option to side with you later? Come on. So I was like, oh, BioWare, you were so close. You had this concept going, and I appreciate what you're trying to do, which is, you know, you're getting very entangled in these complex political factions, but it's unfortunately you kind of get railroaded at the end, and you can only choose one side or the other. And I'm like, oh. And then it just sort of ends. And I'm like, wait, you can't do that. Don't pull a God of War 2 on me. No. So anyway, so it's a good game. It's a solid game, and I still love BioWare. But I really felt like if they had taken more time, they could have A, had better dungeons, because that was ridiculous, and B, they could have developed characters and some of the quests more. And the other thing was I got a ton of quests stacked up, and would sometimes lose the plot thread because it was too much, and there were too many minor things going on that didn't make enough of a difference at the end. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Good try, BioWare.
Publicly traded companies.
Yep.
Gotta love them. Yep. Get this game out!
Yeah, I feel bad for the developers. I'm sure they had a cool concept on paper, and they just didn't have enough time to realize it, to bring it to fruition, I guess. Yeah.
Alrighty, cool. I've also been playing Dragon Age 2. I'm still not very far. I've been running around doing random stuff in Kirkwall. I've actually been doing pretty much every quest I come across. So,
yeah.
Which is
be careful.
Abnormal for me because I usually just like to go through the story. Yeah.
But be careful to make sure to finish the smaller quests, because I got stuck at one point where if an act finishes, you can't go back and do certain quests. Uh-huh. So be careful with that, because I learned a very hard lesson last night.
Yeah. The same thing happened actually to my husband in Origins, where he went to Lothering, and he's, I'll come back and do these later.
Whoops.
Only to find out that the whole town burns down.
Not. Yeah.
I'm still liking it. Again, I'm not anywhere near far enough through it to make any type of judgments at this point. But what I really spent the most time playing recently is Sims Medieval, which my review of went up today, and I really like that game. It is not just The Sims in medieval times. It's completely different gameplay. I mean, it still feels like The Sims, but there's different gameplay in it. So it still has that wacky, goofy sense of humor where, they just do weird stuff like fart and do all kinds of things like that.
That's a stupid word.
Yeah. And but you have quests. You have hero Sims. Those are the only Sims that you can control. You don't take control of anybody else in the world, and you can only control a hero sim if they are directly involved in the active quest that you are doing. And then you've got little quests that you have to do to fulfill the bigger quest. And some of them are really ridiculous, and others are pretty natural. Like if you play as a king or a queen, like you want to have an heir to the throne, so you've got to get married and all this stuff, which actually turned out to be quite complicated because I got married.
You got politics and everything.
Yeah, you can't just get married to anybody.
No, my husband was just weird. Like, I got married, and then obviously to have a kid, you have to woo-hoo, which
right.
is what
no,
it's
no, you have
called
to try for baby.
In The Sims.
No, it's separate. Well, yeah. On Sims 3 on the console, it's separate. Like, you can try for a baby, mm-hmm. or you can woo-hoo, which means I assume that you're using safe sex.
instead
of trying for
protection.
Not in medieval
not
times.
Not in medieval times. Like,
yeah,
woohoo.
Yeah, I did get one of my characters pregnant accidentally.
Whoops.
I was trying to get my husband to woohoo, but he would not come in the castle.
He's just hanging out outside?
Yeah, he's just walking, in the middle of the night, just walking around. And he liked to hang out, by the stocks, where the pit beast was.
Oh, God.
Was there a brothel there or something?
No. Is he woohooing other places?
No.
Is he by himself?
He's just walking around.
Self-woo.
So that was... Oh, God. That was one of the drawbacks of not being able to hop into another sim and make them do what you want them to do.
Yeah.
Right?
But rely on the AI.
Yeah, but it it made things challenging, and I had a lot of fun with it.
And you don't have to make them go to the bathroom
right.
or make them happy anymore.
That was a really annoying in Sims 3, I have to admit. So I was like, really? Come
on. Yeah, the only two traditional stats that you have to deal with in Sims Medieval are hunger and energy. So you have to make sure that they eat and that they sleep. But the kind of mood meter isn't focused on mood anymore. It's called focus, actually. And you can get all kinds of buffs for doing certain things. Like if you complete your daily responsibilities, mm-hmm. then you get a positive buff because you feel like you did a good job. Mm-hmm. Or, if your sim likes to be outdoors, they'll get a buff whenever they are outside, which mm-hmm. helps raise their focus. And then there are negative ones as well. And some of them are funny because each hero sim has two traits and a fatal flaw. So if you pick a fatal flaw that's cruel or bloodthirsty or something like that, your sim will lose focus if they aren't mean to somebody every day.
That's funny.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. So Yeah, I mean, it was really, it's vast. This game is vast. So there are they're called Kingdom Ambitions, which is basically like a whole game. It's like a big overarching goal, and then you do the quest to reach that goal. And once you've reached that, then you're pretty much done, and then you've unlocked more Kingdom Ambitions, and you start kind of all over with a new kingdom and take things in a different direction. But anyhow, I only finished one Kingdom Ambition, and I played through probably about 20 hours. Wow. Worth, and there were, I forget, I didn't count on the wheel, but there were tons that I hadn't even unlocked yet. So
it's a big game.
Yeah, huh? It's a huge game. Yeah. So there's tons of replay value there. And like I said, it's still got the fun stuff of The Sims, but with the medieval kind of theme thrown in, you get
is
funny
it a
stuff.
Good place to jump in for The Sims? Like, I've never played
Oh, yeah. Game before. Yeah, especially if you're not so crazy about the complete open world sandbox thing. This has a lot more direction to it. And the medieval stuff is so funny. It's like the doctor treats people by slapping leeches on their foreheads and, nice, you know, nice. Things of that nature. So
true to life, true to history.
So that's what I've been playing. So let's move on to our topic of the week. If you were paying attention when Megan gave her greeting today, we are going to talk about our love for the great country of Japan, which has unfortunately been racked with disaster after disaster after disaster.
Earthquake,
lately.
Tsunami, volcano eruption, nuclear meltdown. I mean, there's very little food, water, and it's freezing cold. I mean, it's amazing it's that Japan hasn't. Yeah, any other country would have broken down in riots and looting and craziness.
Right, exactly.
And they're so disciplined. And they're so group oriented that they're trying so hard to help each other.
It's really fascinating to see all of those people in Japan just be completely calm when you think back to what happened here in the States after Hurricane Katrina.
Oh,
just like
it's amazing.
It's a world
of
difference.
They're such a strong country. Yeah. It's amazing.
So because of that, we are going to talk about what we love about this country or its games. Most of us have been there, unfortunately. Audrey has not yet, but she will.
I'm going this year to Tokyo Game Show. I'm so excited.
Yeah. It will be a good time.
Yes. And I just want to encourage everybody, if you have the means, to please donate to the Red Cross or
another reputable charity.
The news about it has died down, but they still need lots of support. So
yes, definitely.
Anything anyone can donate is appreciated.
Yeah. And I will actually, I'm just going to do a little quick pitch just on making smart donations. The two things that I've read that have been recommended. First of all, cash is always the best for them to work with, because sending stuff, like, it's just, it costs and you don't always know what they need, and they don't always know, like, you know, how much of something they're going to need, whereas money can be used anywhere.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if you give to a more general charity, like the Red Cross, as opposed to like a very specific one set up just to address like the Japanese earthquake. Like, sometimes when you allocate for a specific cause and then, you know, something else happens somewhere and they have extra money from here, but then they can't reallocate. I don't know. It's just there have been times in the past where it hasn't worked out well.
Yeah. So and I do want to say that I have read on Arrested Origin. Some people do have particular charities. Some people don't want to give to Red Cross, and if that's
No, I'm not saying Red Cross. I'm just saying, like, look, do a little research.
What I was
for,
going to say though is like, for example, Save the Children gives 90% of their of the funds they allocate directly to causes. So if you do research on these nonprofits, go with the one that feels best, because they're all taking money and they all have some connections to Japan. Because I know Japan's a first world country, but that, you know, and people kind of dismiss it like, well, it's not a third world country, but they're hurting pretty badly. This is pretty unprecedented. So,
and remember, you don't have to donate a lot of money for it to make a difference. Like, if you just have a dollar to donate, if everyone donated a dollar, that would help so much.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
And one other thing, we are not saying that you shouldn't donate to local causes either.
Right.
Instead of. So, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's talk about happy Japan stuff. Well, I heard from Megan earlier, and I want her to talk about this first, because I heard about this restaurant, but I didn't actually go. So she went to this crazy ninja restaurant.
Ah, the ninja restaurant.
So you have to tell us about this.
This is amazing. So back in 2004, I used to live in Japan. Before I worked at IGN, I went over there to teach English at those horrible Eikaiwas, these English conversation schools that are on every corner of Japan. Mm-hmm. And I happened to work for the most notorious one called Nova, which actually shut down a year after I left because it was so bad. That's another story. So I'm kind of out in the boondocks in a small town called Kitakogane. And my friend Masanori was like, we got to get you out of here for your birthday. Come into Tokyo and I'll take you to a really cool restaurant. So I was like, all right. So we went to, was it Asakusa? I can't remember where the ninja restaurant is, but he took me there for my birthday, and it is the coolest experience that you'll ever have. Like, first of all, we had a hard time even finding the restaurant. So good starts, a ninja restaurant, hard to find. So we literally kept walking around the block like, what is this? Finally, we think we found the entrance, and we go inside, and it's completely black. It's pitch black, and there's only a reception area, like this reception, I don't know, like pedestal. It's not even like a proper desk, and there's this receptionist there, and she smiles, and she asks us in Japanese to wait a few minutes, and so we're kind of sitting there. There's no one else there. There's no restaurant. There's nothing. We're like in this, we're like in outer space in this weird vacuum. Where are we? So after 5 minutes, literally, this guy all in black pops out of the wall and goes, "Hiroshimase!" and scared the hell out of me. I screamed. And so this guy, who's dressed completely like a ninja, like head to toe black, black tabi socks and the whole thing, leads us into this dark hallway, and it opens up into this pond with like an ancient sort of moon bridge. And so he does this thing, you've seen this in Naruto, he makes all these symbols with his fingers and hands, and the drawbridge comes down. And I'm like, oh great. So we go over the bridge, and then we go over the moon bridge, and then he does it again, and it pops back up. It's this whole production. So we go into this restaurant, it's very dimly lit, it looks like ancient Tokyo, and you know, all of the waiters are in ninja gear, and they're flying in and out of like these alcoves. You don't know where the heck they're coming from. And so we order our food. It's like the best food ever, by the way. It's expensive, but it's so delicious. And their drinks are all kinds of crazy cocktails. Like, it's like the green and pink and purple.
I love crazy cocktails.
I like cocktails anyway, but the fact that they're like all these crazy colors, that was even more fun. So this guy comes over, and he starts doing magic tricks, and he's in his ninja stuff. And so he... what he does is he's like, okay, I'm going to give you this little sponge ball. So hold it in your left hand, and I do, and then squeeze really tight. And, you know, so I'm doing this. I'm focused on my left hand, and then the little one square, the one little sponge ball becomes three. And I'm like, oh, that's a cute trick, I guess. And the guy goes, by the way, I have a present for you. And he hands me a watch, and I'm like, oh, this is my watch. He took it off my wrist while I wasn't paying attention.
Was it the same wrist you were squeezing?
No, it wasn't.
The other one?
Yeah, it was the other one. But you'd think I would at least feel it. And he's right in my face. He's like right there. So I'm totally clueless about this. So they do all these little like parlor tricks for you. And then when you leave the restaurant, it's the same thing. You go through this alcove, and it's like this Indiana Jones adventure. And you're like, what the heck? And then as I'm walking with my friend, the guy, the ninja goes, Megan-san. And I turn around, and he like, bam, whips out the scroll that says happy birthday, Megan, in Japanese. And I started laughing. And I turned around, I swear, for half a second. And I looked back over to say, that was really cool. And he was gone. It was the coolest adventure ever. Awesome. So if you're ever in Japan, if you have any way to get there, I highly recommend this crazy ninja restaurant. It is the most entertaining thing ever.
What district was it in?
I want to say it was near Osaka. It's somewhere in Tokyo.
Okay.
I can't quite remember, but I think it's near where that big famous Buddha shrine is with all the little kitscha.
So the first guy that jumps out at you, was he always there, like hiding behind something, or was
probably, I think they, cause like nothing happened. Like there was no one else there in this tiny little black room, and it's just the receptionist with this tiny little desk light. So we're kind of creeped out, and I have no idea where he came from. Or was just like pinned against the wall waiting to jump out at us. But
he
was
used
weird.
His powers of invisibility, clearly.
It was a really cool trick. So highly recommend it.
I'd love to see the guy who like notices him trying to take off the watch. He's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, no kidding. I have no idea. I can't believe I fell for that. But I was I probably would have left the restaurant and not known until I looked at it. Oh, what time? Wait a minute.
Oh, great. Darn ninjas.
Yeah, he gave me back my watch, but my wallet mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah.
They have cool restaurants in Japan. I actually went to a fishing restaurant, too, where you literally fish for your food. Mm-hmm. That was cool, too. So, but that's
fishing for real fish that they will cut up?
What happens is there's an actual pond in the restaurant. You take a fishing pole.
For carrots.
I don't know. I'm thinking like maybe they could put food in like plastic bags or something.
Oh. No.
I was like, this doesn't sound like it would turn out very well.
It's like one of those carnival games.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You got to work for your food at this restaurant.
Oh, you fish.
Yeah, you fish and then you catch it and they take it back and they prepare it for you. And it's so fresh that... my friend Masanori was like, hey, want to see something cool? Because you have the slivers of sashimi, and then you have the actual fish that you fish with. Its head is staring at you. And so if you pour soy sauce over it, the fish's tail will go brrr,
Wait, what?
Because it's still technically the nerves are still alive or something. It's oh my god. It's that fresh.
So then like the salt. All
right, I will not be eating it.
That's not
the right. No idea. Don't worry, I won't take you there.
Yeah. Wow. It's like, you don't eat the actual the fish, but they bring the fish that they cut up with to prove that it's the fish you caught and that it's still fresh. And so my
wait,
friend
you don't eat that fish that you caught?
I'm confused. You do, but what it is they slice up the sashimi, the actual meat,
mm-hmm.
but they'll actually
they bring out
the
like
rest
the
of the fish.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
It's to prove that it's your fish, A, and B, that it's completely fresh. So my friend Masanori, knowing that I was a foreigner and would freak me the hell out, which it did, mm-hmm. was like, want to see a cool trick?
I don't want to eat this anymore.
I did scream at the table, and he laughed hysterically because everyone turned around and was like, what? And it was like, it was like one of maybe two foreigners there, and I was just freaking out at the table.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah. you were yeah, there's
I can't,
tons of entertaining
I can't
things
eat
to do
things
in Japan.
That are still looking at me. That's
no.
Still,
yeah.
doesn't work for
if
me.
If it has a head still on it, I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah, when, like even prawns and things of that nature, I can't.
Oh. It's creepy.
I can, but it can take a little work. We went, so my husband and I went just for vacation in, was it 2006? And we were there for 3 weeks. And so the last day that we were there, because we were like, all right, we're getting up at the crack of dawn and we're going to the fish market,
mm-hmm.
which if you have the chance to go, it's crazy and amazing, and it's like at 5 a.m. on a Saturday that you have to go down, but then you could just see, I mean, I saw things that I have no idea what on earth they were, but like they're just, yeah, they were insane. And then you could also see the tuna auction. The fresh tuna auction you can't see anymore, but these giant tuna, and you're watching people just like, you know,
bid pay a lot of money.
And then afterwards there are tons of like little just like places where you can go eat sushi. Mm-hmm. So like 6 a.m. sushi breakfasts. And
I know.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't imagine eating sushi at 6 a.m.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's not a breakfast food for me.
So we went in and like they had like three different options. It was like A, B, or C. And it was like either like special sushi or like, you know, and then it was like really special. And so I think
special
we thought at
really
first,
special.
Yeah, it was like some very vague thing. And we interpreted it as like the quality of fish that you were
right.
getting.
Uh-huh.
And I went with just the sushi one, but my husband went with the sashimi option. And it was not, it was like levels of exoticness of the stuff you were getting.
Oh.
So he went with a high-end one. And, you know, so at 6 a.m, we're sitting there. I'm sure we had been out way too late the night before because we did that pretty much the whole time we were in Japan. And they put down in front of him this little, like, it was actually... It was rice with, you know, with the seaweed around, but it was covered with like a whole like a little clump of these tiny, tiny little eels with their eyes all still in it. When they when they set it down, like, I mean, they were really, really thin. You know, if you think about like if you go for Korean, like the little dried, salted, little tiny fish, like they were like that size. But when they put it down, like they all kind of moved. And so,
oh my God.
So we didn't know if they were alive or not. And he just had this look on his face because, you know, we're like the only white people in here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's this tiny, tiny little counter. And he knew he had, like, it's
you
like,
have
he
to
has to eat it.
Yeah.
And I just looked at him like, have fun with that. He was like, shut up. Don't say anything.
So he ate it.
Yeah, he did.
Could he tell if they were alive?
They weren't alive. Okay. But when they,
God, can you imagine how creepy that is?
That moment of setting them down.
I know someone who actually did that in Japan once. They actually did eat. You can eat things and they'll like wiggle down your throat apparently.
Oh.
It's really awful.
I swear that a lot of Asian countries do like the crazy eating. Because when we were in Vietnam a couple years before that, like, I mean, the big thing, well, it's, they discourage tourists from doing it because it's really not a good environmental practice, but like cobra eating, and like you can do like this 5-course cobra, and they bring out the live cobra, and then you end up like drinking venom. The very last thing you do is like do a shot of the heart, which is still beating. And
that's hardcore.
And Brian was like, yeah, I want to. I'm like, no, we're not doing it. We're not supposed to. It's we're being bad tourists if we do that. We didn't do it.
That's
I wasn't
terrible.
Gonna do it.
Yeah.
But I loved Japan. I loved the food. I mean, we had no idea what we were eating most of the time, but I'm cool with that because I eat almost anything. It's like, just go in and If there were pictures, if there were pictures, yeah. I pointed to those, yeah. And if not,
that's what's helpful. Is they have a lot of pictures in the menus. You're like,
and they have the have the plastic food outside, so you can see what they serve.
And and if if you're in Tokyo, there's actually a whole street that basically sells plastic food, so you can go there and you can go check it. Yeah, I mean the place where the everyone goes to buy all that plastic food.
Really?
Yeah. So you walk by.
That sounds fun. Yeah. Let's go there. Yeah.
We totally went. You know, you walk by and it'll look like a butcher shop, and you realize, oh wait, that's all just like plastic
displays. Displays.
No, we went and we bought a couple pieces of sushi. It's not cheap. Like
the plastic food is
not
cheap.
Yeah, no. Like you buy like a plate of pasta with some stuff on it. It's like, you know, $60-$70.
What?
Yeah. At least. Like an individual piece of sushi, I think we paid like $12. We just bought a couple. Yeah.
That's more than a real piece of sushi.
Oh yeah. That's the irony. But it lasts forever.
Oh, well, unless you lose it.
Four and a half years later and we still have ours. So.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just an amazing, one of the crazy things to me about Tokyo is, because the year that we had done this, we had done our year of travel. So we did a ton of traveling that year. And, you know, we'd been in London and we had been in Mexico City and just all these other places where you go and there are these giant cities, but like there's so much diversity. And that's one of the just most mind-bending things to me about being in Tokyo is that you can be in a city of, you know, 18 million. I don't even remember how many it is, that many millions of people. And so obviously not belong there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, you do not live here. You are a foreigner. Yeah. It's just, I mean, because in San Francisco, the only way I can tell who doesn't live here is the people who are wearing fanny packs and shorts in the middle of
the people who are looking at maps.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's funny because it reminds me of a story. When I was living in Tokyo, I was actually at a Starbucks and it was a really long line. And I, you know, if you go to Japan long enough, it's always inevitable some guy will hit on you in some creepy way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like older men, just it's okay
for
them to
do that. Will his nose start bleeding?
Probably. Nice. And so this guy behind me was like trying to flirt with me in Japanese. Mm-hmm. I think he heard me speaking Japanese before. And it was like, you know, and then I was trying to like pretend I didn't understand him, so he switches to English. And so I'm like, I don't want to talk to this guy, but there's nowhere for me to go or politely brush him off. So I started speaking Spanish. I thought, I'm safe. I'll just pretend I don't know. Guy just came back from Mexico and spoke better Spanish than I did. And I was like, oh, damn it. I'm out of this. So I pretended
like I'm speaking Simlish.
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah, there you go.
I should have done that. It was amazing because I finally pretended like my phone rang, which it clearly didn't.
Yeah,
but I was just trying to like, you know, like perdóname un momento por favor. Like I just, oh man, it is pretty funny because their culture is different. So things like where it would be considered harassment, or you'd be like, you could tell some guy to f off. It's a little more difficult in Japanese. I was trying to be polite, and it was just funny. I ran out of languages.
We just spent our whole time walking around and like, you know, hitting the tiny little bars or arcades. We spent so much time in arcades, which is just a lot of fun. We spent a lot of money in arcades.
We did too. And they have these crazy photo booths that we went in where they would do these special like focus touch-ups. Like they would make your eyes a little bigger or make your skin look a little better.
Yeah.
So we did the one with the eyes that looked a little bigger and we like, it came out, we look like anime characters.
Oh,
it's,
cool.
It's pretty weird. But yeah, the big cultural thing that happened to me when I was there is we're waiting to get on the train and I'm down on the deck, there's this big pink sign that says women only, and I was like looking at eyes, I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, they have a groping problem here. So during rush hour they have special cars just for the women, so that they don't have to get groped.
I think Mexico City has the same thing actually.
I could see how that would be necessary there.
I mean, they have a groping problem, but I think they do the women only cars. Anyway.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about Japan was actually, it's not funny, but I loved visiting the Meiji Jingu Shrine.
Yeah,
it's so beautiful. And I saw two traditional wedding processions go by while I was there. So the girls all made up in the kimonos and, you know, and the kimonos on them were so unbelievably huge that like people had to actually lift them up by their arms to get them up the steps and it was nuts.
Wow.
So
kind of got in the way of one of those ones. They had to tell me to move because I kept getting in the way of the pictures. Just trying to walk around and I like kept making it worse. I was like, sorry,
I just, you're in my way.
And they also had this really cool thing where you could buy these little wooden I think they were called like prayer blocks or something, where you could just write down like a hope or a wish or a prayer or whatever and just hang it on the thing. And that was really cool. So
it's really cool. There's this great blend of contemporary and very ancient culture. If you go just like a half hour outside of Tokyo, there's a town called Kamakura, and it used to be one of the ancient capitals of the government. And it's got like 1,000+ year old shrines there because it didn't get bombed in World War II. So you've just got this great piece of history right there.
Yeah, the one thing that was really weird about the Meiji Jinju is that is right in the center of Tokyo.
Yeah.
But you go in there and it is so quiet. Like, you would never guess.
Yeah,
that
it's amazing.
It is right there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. And there are coffee machines everywhere, which
I
love.
Oh my God.
Vending machines are hilarious. Vending machines are the most amazing thing of all time. Because there is ice cream, which I would get every night. I went down and got a little Haagen-Dazs. And then they have, they have these delicious
the cans of hot coffee.
No, they have cold coffee too, which is really good.
But the hot too, like the auto-heating
mechanisms. It's like everything there is just amazing. Yeah. I'm like, oh, why is this not in America?
And the crazy soda flavors.
There's always like five of them right in a row too. So you've got like huge variety on every corner.
One night we like got lost or whatever. We were walking like around looking for this one bar. And I was like so tired and so exhausted. And I looked over and there was a vending machine with water. And I was like, thank God. I just walked over and got some water. I was like, I love you, Japan.
You got to go to the video game bar, though, right?
I did.
You got to at least look in.
Yeah, we got to peek in the door. We had two people with us. We have to go, like, separately. We have to, like, sneak our way over there. We have to, like, not tell anybody that's going with us, because otherwise there's going to be too many people.
Because it's like
the bar only fits, like, 8 people. And it's called Mutaku Mario or something. I don't remember. It means forever. I don't know if you know that word, Megan.
I'm sure I do. I'm just completely blanking right now.
Anyways, it's a really cool bar. I mean, and they have flavored drinks to, Mario flavored drink or whatever.
Do you Mario remember, flavored?
Do you remember where in Tokyo it was? Because next time I go to Tokyo,
sweaty Italian pizza.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
All right. I'm sure I could look it up.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sure I could Google it and figure it out. But since that one can only fit like 8 people and we had like 8 people with us, and there were already 5 people in the bar. We could not get in, so we left and we went to another video game theme bar, and I had a Princess Peach drink.
Nice,
that was awesome. Delicious.
Was it
that's what I'm drinking in my IGN photo for those of you who do.
That's what you're drinking.
It was a Princess Peach.
Was it actually peach?
Yes,
that's cool.
It was funny that bar. I made a total fail on my first drink order. So I get the menu and I'm like, I don't know what the hell anything is.
Yeah.
So I'm just like sure that. And then everybody else gets their drinks and I'm still sitting around. And I was like, okay, what did I order? Why is this taking so long? And so I had somebody else who was with us that spoke Japanese go up and ask. And they're like, they say they're still making it. I don't know what you ordered, but it's on the pot. Like, it's boiling like on the stove.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. Crap. And then they bring it over, and I had ordered tea. And I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was alcohol in the tea, but I did not want the tea. So I had to be like, oh, God, I'm sorry.
Can I have a beer?
Can I have a, then I was like, I'll just go with Princess Peach.
Sure. Yeah. I wonder if it was Akihabara, because that's where all the, like, the digital stuff and otaku are, so that
I can't remember if
that is the big little electronics area.
Yeah, it's a cool area too.
The arcades are, and
another thing we ran into, it was obviously closed because it was about 1 a.m. at the time, but there are cat cafes where you can go in and play with kittens.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And
that's awesome.
Holy crap.
I know there are many cafes, but I never heard of a kitty cat cafe.
And you can also rent dogs.
Rent dogs.
I saw people like, you can like rent a puppy for a day or something.
Rent a puppy, go pick up some girls.
I'm not sure what the timeline is. I don't know, like, if you can do it like for a few days or whatever. But yeah, I saw people with rented dogs. It was very strange.
Wow.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't know what kind of a life those dogs lead. But
I still love, like, it's amazing because there are so many stores that. I mean, the department stores are just insane. They're like, and 10 stories high and
so
sell
big.
Everything in the world, from like having like the gourmet food section way down at the bottom. And then you just go each floor and like just crazy gadgets. Like, we bought so much stuff there, like just cool little things. Yeah.
It weirded me out more that there were buildings full of restaurants. Like, it looks like.
Right.
A skyscraper or whatever, but it's just all restaurants and you like just walk in and it's like a mall and there's just a bunch of restaurants. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
And that's what I found. I was like, this is kind of cool, but not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah. My husband had something really funny happen to him at Tokyo Game Show, because he was trying to learn a little bit of Japanese before we went. Mm-hmm. And so he went up and he was going to order, he was ordering a hot dog or something or other. And he was so proud of himself because he was doing it in Japanese, mm-hmm. and he did it okay. And then the girl responds to him, okay, what do you want to drink with that? Like in English. And he's like, oh, man.
Yeah. Yes. But they love to practice their English on you. That was one of the most frustrating things is when I went there, I had to speak English because at Nova, you weren't allowed to use your Japanese. I cheated anyway because a lot of adults didn't speak any English when they started there. Uh-huh. So I would speak 8 hours a day of English. And then every time I would try to go out and practice my Japanese, people were excited. I was clearly a foreigner and they wanted to practice their English. And there's just no way to be rude and turn them down. Mm. So it was ironic that I never got to use my Japanese in Japan.
Oh. We were in a bar one of the nights that we were there, and it was another one of those. I mean, there's so many of the just tiny little bars, and they're stand-up bars. So, I mean, there were like 8 of us in there, and we were the only 2 white people in there. And this woman who was there was like trying to talk to my husband, and her English was not very good. I mean, obviously better than our non-existent Japanese. But so they were, and he's an architect, so he does a lot of drawing. So he had a sketchbook out and was like trying to draw to like help some of it. And like they were doing this for like about 10 minutes. And finally the guy like back in the corner who had like, you know, 5 empty glasses in front of him was like, I think she's trying to tell you whatever. And it turned out that he like had lived for 5 years in San Jose. So right down like, you know, here in California and all this sort of stuff. And then there were like 3 other people in the bar who spoke perfectly flawless English. So I'm like, so you guys were all just sitting here this whole time, like watching us make fools
of ourselves. Thank you. Just wanted to see how this drama turned out.
Exactly. Exactly. Awesome. We ended up having a great time. We actually, because when we went to Tokyo for like a week, and then we were out and about for about a week and a half, and then we're back in Tokyo. And we actually came, we were like, all right, we will come back. And we did. We went back. Bartender remembered us. It was fun. Cool. It took us forever of wandering around to find it, though. Man, it like, have a good atlas. That would be my thing. We bought really specific street addresses or street atlases. But you have to navigate by landmarks because
they don't do street signs. Yeah, only if it's like a major thoroughfare.
Yeah. I always stuck with Fran because I was not about to get lost by myself in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And that would have happened.
I remember I tried to find a modeling agency and it was like 2 blocks when I was living there. It was like 2 blocks away from where I got off on the train. And could not find it. Kept going in circles and circles and circles. Mm-hmm. And finally, somebody noticed me and came up in English. Was like, "Do you need help?" And I was like, "I can't find this place." It's like, "It's right there." I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Because there's like, I can't even see numbers on the street clearly. So I'm like, I have no idea.
It's confusing. You have to go by sight. Like you literally. Right. I at the end of it, I sort of knew one section, like just the landmarks. Mm-hmm. But otherwise,
Oof.
Train travel is freaking awesome. We bought a train pass. You can buy a tourist train pass for like a week that like it's just a flat amount and you can get on however many times and you'll have to reserve in advance, but it was amazing.
And the bullet train, actually, I didn't even have to make a reservation to get on that. I just jumped on it from Kyoto to Tokyo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it's expensive, but it is so much better than flying. I can't even tell you. It's the most awesome experience. If you have a chance to go to Japan, go on the bullet train. It's fine.
We did not get to go on the bullet train because it was booked, because it turns out there was a holiday. There's like some Japanese holiday that is around now. It was like late November, so it was what was Thanksgiving in the U.S. And we were like, wait, it's a holiday here too. We were like, because then a lot of hotels and stuff were booked, and we hadn't booked anything in advance.
Like, yeah, we were there
lying by the seat of your pants, eh?
We were there for a holiday too. It was like Day of the Aged or something like that, and so there were parades everywhere, which was really cool.
Yeah, we ran into a parade once. I remember what it was for.
It's probably like the same thing because we were there at the same time. Yeah.
I just remember walking down the street and going, oh, I need to get out of the way.
Well, Audrey, are you excited now?
Very. I have to do the best part. So Fran and I went to Harajuku one day.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome. But what was even better was there's another girl with us, and she took us around to this park that's like the opposite direction of the shops.
Mm-hmm. Is it Yoyogi Park?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But maybe this will help you out. There are people that go there and they just dance all day.
That's Yoyogi.
Okay. So there are people that dress up like Elvis.
Oh, wow.
Like there's just a bunch of greasers. Like they got their hair slicked back and they just They dance all day. It's amazing to me. To the point where they have duct taped their shoes because they are falling apart. And then there are these like girls that are very 50s and they, you know, have their big skirts and stuff and they dance around too. Like they all have just like little sections of people dancing. And it is so cool. You just...
Yeah. Then the cosplayers on Sundays. Those yeah. are
we missed, near we missed the cosplayers. Those There's are only great. Like two.
I have tons reason. Of pictures yeah. of myself with cosplayers the first time I went to Japan because it blew my mind. And my brother just came back there from business and he had never seen them before. So he's like, I don't understand. Is it Halloween in Japan? I went to this one place and everyone was dressed like either a goth chick or a doll or an alien or something. Crazy and I was like, nope, those are the cosplayers. They hang around Yoyogi and Harajuku, those areas all the time.
Yeah,
which is hilarious. It's like the way of like getting out all this pent up frustration is they just all these schoolgirls on Sundays. And when I was living there, they used the trend at the time was to dress up as a stuffed animal and then hang out at, in like Shibuya at like 11 o'clock at night. These girls would sit in a circle in the middle of the street and they're all dressed like frogs and cows and sheep. Like these, like they're dressed like stuffed animals. What the hell is this? It was like the new trend. And I was like, I don't get this.
I wouldn't think that awesome. That costume would be expensive.
It is. It's really all easy. Like yeah. a Gothic Lolita is like a $300 outfit. And that's just like the main outfit. That's not even like all the accessories.
Ooh,
crazy. Yeah. It's really crazy. Gothic you really, yeah, Gothic Lolita.
Oh, Japan.
I know.
And we've talked about all of these experiences and we haven't even really talked about games, but oh. we're running out of time. But this okay. this brings us to our challenge for the trivia for next week. So we're going to make it work a little harder. So you need to write in to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. Send us your favorite Japanese made game and why it is your favorite. And again, prizes are Lady Size, Mass Effect, and Dragon Age Wear. And we will pick two people from the winner. So we got time for a few questions here. And first question comes to us from Michael. Michael says, wants to know what we think of the Mario Party series. And has anything funny or interesting ever happened while we were playing with friends or family? I used to love Mario Party. It was one of the first things that kind of really got me into gaming. And that was on N64. And the first Mario Parties were completely brutal in the button mashing and spinning the analog stick like really quickly. And it, on that controller for the N64, it was really hard to do because the analog stick was kind of in a weird position. So when I was playing with Isaac and his friends, we'd do this thing where we just put our palm down on the analog stick and just go like yeah. that. So all of us, like after a weekend, had like these red spots in the center nice. Of our palm. Nice. So yeah, I haven't played a lot of the more recent ones. They've kind of all been like the same thing yeah. over and over
what?
Again.
What? With the Nintendo franchise?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Sorry.
Zing.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
What more do you of think a good of Mario thing Party? Is not a bad thing.
Okay. I didn't say it was bad.
Just saying.
We just said
you know, I never really got into the Mario Party series, uh-huh. so I don't really have much to say about
okay.
it.
Okay. Next question comes to us from Philip. Philip is a history major. And wants to know what he could do to get into the industry, in the gaming industry. Well, first of all, it doesn't really matter what your major is for the most part. Experience is...
Unless you want to be a programmer, and then you should probably...
Yeah. Well, no, experience is more important. Well, I mean, you have to learn how to do it, but you don't have to learn it in school.
Yeah, true.
But my husband does not have a college degree. So, and neither do most of the programmers that he works with.
If you can demonstrate passion and skill, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my major was what, business, and my grad mm-hmm. was Asian studies, and that didn't directly apply to
yeah,
games,
the best so. Example that I have of a weird major ending up in the gaming industry was this guy who used to be my boss. So he was a producer and then an executive producer and then head of business development for
Charla?
Foundation 9. And now he is at Microsoft kind of heading up the Xbox Live portfolio type stuff. His major was geography. So
yeah.
he went
what?
To school wow. to be a city planner
oh.
and managed to get into the game industry.
Tal majored in geography too.
Yeah. What?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I don't think I'm making this up. I'm pretty
I don't
sure.
think
I'm definitely not making up the yeah, Charlotte part. He definitely majored yeah. in geography. So, I mean, I think that just goes to show you that
you know, even if you major in something weird, if you've got passion and you can teach yourself how to do the things that you need to do, you will be fine. Alrighty. Next question comes to us from Christine.
Oh, really?
What do you want to know, Christine?
I don't know. What do I
want to know? That's kind of a weird question, actually, if it's coming from you.
Oh, no.
She wants to know if any of us find the loyalty missions in Mass Effect 2 a bit unimaginative, since most of them are centered around your, this is her words, emo companions who have parental issues and hate their daddies.
Wait, was this for Mass Effect 2 or Dragon Age 2?
Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 2. See, I would have applied that to Dragon Age 2, but that is neither here nor there.
I kind of like the loyalty
missions.
I liked
them too. I thought they were interesting.
I thought they were cool. Yeah. I liked Garrus's and... Thanes, I think, the most. I thought those were the most interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I like them the most because, I mean, that was where you got the character development for everybody.
Yeah.
Where you got to know the characters, so, you know.
Yeah, I liked them. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of broke up the
story. I guess two of them are sort of daddy issues.
Yeah, well, Jacob's for sure.
Jacob and Miranda.
Yeah,
but
yeah. The others
I
didn't
aren't,
find
I don't
them. I didn't
so.
Find them all that easy.
I didn't think they were repetitive.
Yeah.
No, they were different.
They were totally different
stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... I'm going to go with no. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
We disagree with you on this one.
Alrighty. Next question comes to us from Alan. Alan sent us a link to a sports story where there was a high school sophomore girl became one of the first girls to qualify for a wrestling tournament in its 85-year history. However, at the her first round opponent defaulted rather than playing her because he said that wrestling a girl would conflict with his religious beliefs. And he wants to know what we think about that because he says that there were other comments about men who had been in a similar situation and they're afraid they couldn't compete to their fullest for fear of, you know, being inappropriate or whatever.
No, I think they're so afraid they're going to get beat.
Yeah. I think that's the other thing. I mean... You're grabbing dudes in air, you know.
Yeah,
it's like okay. So if you're worried that you might touch women's buttocks, so it's okay to touch the men on there.
Just as long as you don't grab her boobs or anything, you're probably fine.
Yeah, just don't run straight up to her and grab her boobs and squeeze
and
them
say Hong Kong.
Honk. I think that you'll be okay.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I do think it's his right to say I don't want to.
Yeah, right.
Right.
He doesn't have to if he doesn't want to.
Right. I totally agree with this and with that aspect of it. But then I also do question. I'm like, okay, so is that really the case, or are you just like, or is it like
making
this kind of like,
or
is it this you know more kind of like overall patriarchal girls shouldn't be, you know, that's not the place for women. So I don't know.
Yeah,
makes me go a little meh.
Yeah, uh-huh. But at least a girl was actually getting to play.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool part of the story.
Yeah, and I think wrestling is probably the most touchy of
touchy.
Very
close contact.
Yeah,
or maybe this is like a high school version or a college version of China, and the guy was really intimidated and didn't want to get the poop beat out of him. No one knows
I didn't, but yeah.
Okay.
Never mind, I'm a wrestling fan. Fans will understand my reference.
That China.
Yeah.
China with a Y. I'm thinking of the country. I'm like, what are you talking about? China with a Y.
Okay, next question comes to us from Sean. And Sean wrote this letter around Groundhog's Day, just to give you a reference. So he wants to know if we had a Groundhog Day, as in...
Had to keep
the
doing
Bill
it over
Murray
and over.
Movie, uh-huh. Yes, having to do things over and over. What would we do? Would we mess with? Would you go insane? Would you pick a specific day? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think we would all go insane.
Yeah.
I actually think I would have my wedding day over and over again because that was awesome.
Wow. That's awesome.
It was.
I can't even imagine wanting to. I enjoyed my wedding, but it was just like all the. And it was
so
a pretty low key one.
Imagine.
It was a pretty low key one, and I was not a, oh, what if things go wrong? Like, I just wanted it done, but it was just so many parts. And like that morning, it was just like, oh, we're going to get to the. We're running late. Oh, and I don't deal well with any of that.
No, mine was actually pretty relaxed. We stayed at the hotel the night before, and I had hired a day of planner
to help out.
Who just took care of everything. She took care of everything like 2 weeks before. Like, I just gave her all the information. These are all the people I've booked for blah, blah, blah. And she just made sure it happened.
Oh, that's
and she
good.
Was awesome.
That's good.
So I do. So think it was a lot of fun for me. And I like being the center of attention.
Would you ever, though, like, mess with people at some point? Like, be like, because I think that I totally would.
Over and over?
Knowing that they're not going to remember, I'm going to have to do this again tomorrow and they're not going to remember? Hell yeah. I would be screwing with everybody that I could. It would be amazing.
Yes. Maybe I would have gotten a little bit more drunk than I did.
I would be like fake tripping down the aisle, falling over people, flirting with other people, just doing whatever the hell I wanted.
Being mean to relatives you don't like.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Eating whatever you wanted, no consequences.
I would be. Yeah, that would
ruin the
be
dress.
Good. I ate
because
whatever
then you know
I
it's
going to
be there yes. Yeah. Perfectly again tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, as opposed to every other day when I don't always eat what I want. But, yeah, right. But I would actually just be really, I would do really boring and just pick, like, you know, like an awesome, just normal everyday weekend day, like just one that ended up really well where it's just like we hang out, you know, like take our daughter to Fairyland, which is this awesome
Fairyland?
Is that the Oakland one?
Yeah. It's this awesome, like 6-year-old. It was actually the thing that gave Walt Disney the idea to do Disneyland, but it's like it has not changed at all in 60 years. So it's this super old school, just like incredibly sweet, like great for really, really young kids. Mm-hmm. Like she's 2, and when we walk up,
what is it though?
It's like they have like some animals there, and then
so
they'll have
like
a
daycare.
No, it's like an amusement park. Yeah, like an amusement park.
But without roller coasters, it's just little things.
Yeah, like there's a merry-go-round, and they have a little tiny train that goes around, and they have a reading room, and they do puppet shows, and like we've taken her a few times, but it's just been the last 2 times that like she started to remember, and so then she'll see it, and she'll be like, that's really fun to watch.
Yeah.
So I would do stuff like that, you know, have some friends over for dinner at night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the stuff that I really.
Yeah, but I would have it be the day after I robbed a bank and made a clean getaway to Japan.
Then you're already in Japan. You don't have to worry about a 10-hour flight. Then you get there.
There
no,
you go.
No, you have to do it
all. I have
all
this money to spend.
Oh my gosh, that would be miserable.
It's just you flying to Japan. On a plane. Oh my god, I jump out of the airplane. But would it matter? Because I'd be back on the plane.
We were actually talking about this in the office earlier. Is what would happen if the Groundhog's Day effect happened when you were like in the air on an airplane?
That'd be awful.
Like, would you just fall asleep?
And oh my god, that would just be hell.
I don't even know
me.
What I would do. I would just seriously off myself as soon as possible every day so that you wouldn't have to deal with it as much.
Yeah.
Alrighty, and on that note,
happy note,
don't commit suicide, kids.
No.
So we are going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks so much for listening. As always, you can send questions, comments, and feedback to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow each of us individually on my IGN. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
Johnny. Bye.